Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Last week, we talked about a trial currently underway in Concord, New Hampshire. The defendant in this case is 19-year-old Owen LaBrie, a graduate of the elite St. Paul's Prep School. He's accused of sexually assaulting a then 15-year-old female student at the school as part of an annual ritual at St. Paul's called Senior Salute. And that's when older students look to meet up with younger ones for anything from a walk to an embrace to possibly more. The case brings up so many complicated issues, from what constitutes consent to bigger questions about teens and their attitudes and expectations about sex. So how do you talk about this case with your teen? How do you talk about sexuality overall with your teenage children? Well, joining us now with more is Joni Geltman. She's a lecturer in Curry College's psychology department and author of the book, A Survival Guide to Parenting Teens, Talking to Your Kids About Sexting, Drinking, Drugs, and Other Things That Freak You Out. Joni Geltman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks, you. It's great to be here.
So, first of all, can you tell us, why do you think this case in particular is important for parents to talk about with their teens?
Well, I think that having a 15-year-old then and having an 18-year-old who, at the time, he was a senior in high school, that parents of the 18-year-old boys, I think, get anxious about, is this what my son is doing? And I think parents of young girls who maybe have never seen their daughter as a sexual being are shocked and, oh, could this be my daughter? Could this be a situation?
Okay. So how do you then first bring it up with your teen? Like, say, hey, by the way, I want to talk about this case that's going on in New Hampshire.
I like when there are stories in the news because I think it gives a pathway to communication. So it's not a parent just sitting, oh, let's sit down and have a talk about sex. It gives a context. So talking about the actual situation, what happened with the girl and where, how this all came about and why the girl was in that situation in the first place, what do they think about it? So I think the temptation for parents is to jump right in and start off with a, this is a terrible thing that happened and I hope this never happens to you. And if it ever does, I'll be punished. You know, they go to a negative place. I think if parents start from the place of, I get how this might have happened. Mm. I get that kids can find themselves in uncomfortable situations where they have no experience. And in the case of this girl, she is a young girl. She didn't probably have any experience, was flattered by the attention of the boy. And when a parent can go there with their daughter and say, I could get, you might be at a situation where you'll be at a party or an older boy at school is showing interest in you. Let's talk about this.
Right. Well, the accuser actually testified in court that she said that she said no, but she didn't protest more forcefully because, you know, in her words, she wanted to be easygoing and not cause a conflict. And even, you know, another part of her testimony, she said, even though she objected to what she says, she alleges was being done to her, that she wanted to be respectful as well. I mean, so what does that tell us about how, teenage girls see their own agency?
Well, I think that she gave this boy additional respect for being a senior. So she felt like a chosen person. Girls that young, when an older boy shows interest, of course they feel very flattered by the attention and they don't want to make waves. You know, they feel flattered and they feel that their friends will see them in a different way. They see themselves in a different way to have this kind of attention. And she doesn't want to rock the boat. You know, there's an ambivalence of, I enjoy the attention and I'm scared.
Hmm. Well, how do we acknowledge, there's sort of this difficult duality, I think, specific, you know, for teenage girls and women as well. I mean, I've been reading people saying, you know, as a woman, I worry about, you know, being accepted even as a grown adult. But at the same time, you know, I myself want to be respected and strong. So how do we encourage the strength in young girls without telling them to risk being, you know, seen as difficult. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do. And I think that part of the issue is that parents have to accept, and when they're talking with their kids about this, whether it's the boys or the girls, with no judgment. Because if you come into it as she's a bad girl because she let this go on, she should have said no earlier on, or he's a bad boy because he took advantage of her, then that's going to set those kids up for shutting off and turning off the conversation. So, you know, I think that you need to acknowledge that there will be an ambivalence. You're not saying you're not strong enough. You're saying there's a part of you that likes this. And let me give you a script that you can say, you know, when you're in a situation, or there, here's an app I can give you. There's a great app now called Circle of Six, which is, you download it on your kid's phone, and in an emergency, they can press a button and you'll be one of those six people and they can find you. So you give them the tools. You say, when you're in this situation, rather than expecting that they'll know the right thing to do, you can say, hey, you know, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to leave right now. You give them a script. You give them the actual behaviors that they can do in the moment. And the same with the boys. Mm-hmm. You know, boys, there's a crowd mentality that happens.
Well, so on that point, I think there's a lot of there's a question about how do we help young people understand some of the basics of human relations, like how can we help them have better tools for understanding what the intent of the other person is and what the true meaning of that other person's response is in return.
It's conversation, but not from a lecturing standpoint. Yeah. And I think that's the mistake, and that's why kids aren't getting the message. Either parents are afraid to even open the door. Parents have to at least say, I get this is happening. It could happen to you. Let's problem solve around it rather than, you know, getting anxious and getting into a punishment mode. And so I think most of it's just accepting that kids are hormonal. They are attracted to members of the same sex or the opposite sex. They are, you know, I think that's the beginning point. Most parents are afraid to even go there with their kids. They don't even want to accept that, yes, my kid is a sexual person.
Right.
And listen, we all went through adolescence. You know, it's normal. It's a normal part of development. It's teaching them that the urges are normal, and let's learn how you can set your own limit about, you know, the difference between positive attention and you know, being taken advantage of.
So we've talked a lot about teenage girls. I mean, can you tell us more specifically about how you have these conversations with young boys as well?
Well, I think first of all, there are so many boys out now who are accessing porn at a very early age, and that is their first introduction to sex. For the average age now is 11.7 years. Okay, so we're talking young boys. Because of technology, they can have that access. So parents need to start much earlier, way earlier, to talk about respect for women and what is it? How do you show affection for another person? What's the difference between affection and sexual activity? And also, what happens when you get into these this sort of crowd mentality where boys are sort of egging each other on, and how do you get out of that situation? I think I've talked with a lot of parents whose boys are in these situations and they don't know what to say. No, they don't know how to say no. I don't want to pursue this avenue.
So quickly, do you have a recommendation of, like, if you're telling a young boy this, like, how do you get out of those situations?
Well, I mean, they could say, hey man, I'm just not into this, or they give them a stock phrase, I'm out of here. Giving them the words. That's the key here, is to give them the words, not you better not. That's not a helpful strategy. But saying, you know, give them a script. I'm out of here. This isn't for me. You guys are crazy. You know, something that works for them, that sounds like them. You don't want to make them sound like a, you know, 50-year-old adult. But giving them the language so that when they're in that situation, they will have something to say.
Well, Joni Geltman is a lecturer in Curry College's psychology department and author of A Survival Guide to Parenting Teens, talking to your kids about sexting, drinking, drugs, and other things that freak you out. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Meghna.
There's more of the show in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.